glad that my chains are gone. Amen. You've ever been in prison? Say, not physically. I'm talking about spiritually, right? If you're saved tonight, then you've been in prison before to your sin. And I sure am glad that I've been set free. Amen. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm glad that my sins are forgiven. James chapter number 4, tonight we're going to pick up where we left off at last time. We were in the book of James, which was 2 weeks ago. We had Brother Tolson with us last Sunday night. And if you'll recall, 2 weeks ago we were in James chapter number 4, and we looked at verses 11 and 12, and the title of my message was, "Who do you think you are?" You remember that? Who do you think you are? And I said I could have entitled it, "Who do I think I am?" Because when I say, "Who do you think you are?" I'm speaking to myself as well. And it's as if James was asking these people that question. Who do you think you are? And we looked at 2 weeks ago how that he talked about who do you think you are speaking evil of your brother, right? Look at verse number 11. He said, "Speak not evil one of another." And he said, "Brethren." That makes me believe he's talking about people speaking evil of their brother. He actually goes on to say, "He that speaketh evil of his brother," right? He said, "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" And if you'll recall, I said, who do we think we are, right? Who do we think we are that we would speak evil of our brother to demean them or to defame them? And who do we think we are to decide how God would deal with our brothers in Christ? God said, James said, there's one lawgiver, right? And it's God. It's not you and it's not me. And I want to continue with that thought tonight because I believe that James is continuing with that thought. Look at verse number 13. He says this. He says, "Go to now." You say, what does that mean? Well, I looked it up and done a little research to try to find out what does that phrase mean. And the best that I could come up with is it literally means, it's a way of saying, listen up, right? It's a way of, we would say something like this, let me have your attention, right? It's kind of like a parent. Everybody's got that dad voice, right? Or that mom voice where they say something and you just know they want your attention, right? Now, some people always got that voice. Pastor is one of those people, right? I'm envious of it sometimes. Let's be honest with you. I talk to my children sometimes and I think they don't think I'm really trying to get their attention until I say, "Go to now." Now, I don't say it like that, but I say, "Hey," and they know he wants my attention. Now, I've known our pastor since his children were small, and every time he talks, he wants their attention. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. And James, though, is saying, just in case you wasn't paying attention, right? Just in case you wasn't listening. Because we all sometimes will let our minds begin to wander. And it's almost as if James was writing this letter. And this letter he knew was going to be read to these believers. And whether it was read to them or whether they were reading it themselves. Sometimes even when you're reading along, you'll be reading something and your mind begins to wander. And it's as if James said, "Hey, go to now. Listen up. I need your attention. Because I'm about to say something that's very important." And I'm convinced that what James says here in James chapter 4 is very, very important. Honestly, as I stand before you tonight, I don't believe that I am capable of getting across to you exactly what God has given to me, because I believe that this is some hallowed ground that we're on here. Now, I believe all of God's word is hallowed, right? All of God's word is holy. But these verses of Scripture are some serious verses of Scripture. I mean, just the statement, "What is your life alone?" What a statement. What is your life? James is getting ready to say some very important things, and he says, "I need your attention. Go to now. Let me get your attention." And I believe that James is still dealing with this thing of pride that he began to deal with in verse number 6 when he said, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And he goes on in verse number 10 and he says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." God, James says, humble yourselves, right? Who do you think you are, right? Can you hear it as if James is saying, who do you think you are? God resists the proud. Humble yourselves, therefore, right? And God will lift you up. And he goes on, verse 11, speak not evil one of another. Who do you think you are to talk down to somebody else, to demean another brother? Who do you think you are to decide there's one lawgiver and he's God and it's not you and it's not me, it's not us, it's him? He says, who do you think you are? And then he goes on in verse number 13 and he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. He says, who do you think you are? Am I the only one that can see it there, that it appears that James is saying to these people, who do you think you are? You that say you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to continue there a year and you're going to buy and you're going to sell and you're going to get gain. Who do you think you are is what James is saying. And I think there's three things in particular that I want us to look at tonight in regards to that thought of who do we think we are. And the first thing I want to look at is this, and I find it here in verse number 13 and in the beginning part of verse number 14, and that's this, that tomorrow is a mystery. Tomorrow is a mystery. Look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. James says, who do you think you are? You think you know what's going to happen tomorrow? James says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Who do we think we are when we get into the business of tomorrow? Now, I want to make something very clear. I do not think that James is rebuking planning. I think the Bible is very clear that we ought to plan. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How can we say what's going to happen tomorrow? We don't know what's going to happen today. We don't know what's going to happen before we get home this afternoon. We don't know what phone call we may get. We don't know what car may pull out in front of us out on 29. We don't know when some part of our body is going to stop functioning. We don't know what today holds, much less tomorrow. And so I don't think James is rebuking planning. The Bible teaches the plan. The same Proverbs that says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and how that she prepares and gets ready for the winter, right? The Bible is clear that we ought to plan, that it's okay to prepare. Jesus said, does a man go to war and not sit down and count the cost, or build a building and not count the cost? So I don't believe that James is rebuking planning. I don't think that James is rebuking the thought of preparing. I don't think that James is even rebuking the thought of making profit. It's okay to make profit. The Bible teaches, Pastor mentioned it this morning, a man that won't work shouldn't eat. Why do you work? For profit. So that you can eat. So James isn't saying don't plan. He isn't saying don't prepare. He isn't even saying don't make profit. I don't think that's what James is saying. I think James is actually addressing something else. And the first thing that I think he is addressing is this attitude of assuming. It's obvious that these people were assuming something. They were making an assumption about tomorrow. Look at the phrases that he uses here in verse 13. He says, go to you now ye that say today or tomorrow. Look at it. We will. That's such a confident statement that they're making. They're just assuming that they will. We will go into such a city. Look at it, verse number 13. It says, we will go into such a city. Look at this. And continue there a year. They're just assuming they're going to stay there a year. Now, I don't think that, as I said already, I don't think that James is saying, hey, don't plan, don't prepare. He's saying you got to watch out for that attitude of assuming that you know what's going to happen. That you're going to go into a city. You're going to do it. We will go into a city, and we will continue there a year, and we will make profit, and we will get gain. And James says, you got to watch against that attitude of assuming, because tomorrow is a mystery. We don't know what's on tomorrow. It reminds me of the story in the parable. I was reading it. I'm sorry, Pastor, I was just preaching this morning. I started reading ahead a little bit. I was wondering if he was going to get there. In Luke chapter number 12, Jesus teaching that parable. In verse number 16, he said this. He said that he was talking about that man in that parable. And he said that man said that this will I do. Listen to the confidence of this man. Listen to the assumptions that this man makes. Are you listening? Go to now. Listen. This is so important. This man says, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, this man says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to make gain and I'm going to get fruit and I'm going to get crops and I'm going to say to my soul, be thou fat soul and lay up and take it easy. And you know what Jesus said? He said, God said unto him, thou fool. Thou fool. He said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then what are you going to do with all those goods? You see, that man was assuming that he had forever. That man was assuming about tomorrow, and God said, no, you fool, you don't know what's going to happen today. I even think about Peter. Peter said, I'll never deny thee. Lord, though all men forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to forsake me. You don't know what you say. We got to be careful about assuming things. We got to be careful about making assumptions about tomorrow. Tomorrow is a mystery. I thought about this, and I'm honest. I said, I can't even share with you what's on my heart tonight, but I think about the things that have just happened this past year in my own life. I had no idea that I was going to preach my brother's funeral this year. I had no idea, Miss Faulkner, I was going to preach your son's funeral this year. And I don't say that to bring up a sore subject. I say that because I'm just trying to remind us, tomorrow's a mystery, brother. There's people in this building that have laid children to rest. There's people in this building that have laid a mother or a father or a child or a sibling, someone that they love dearly, to rest. There's people in this room that's gotten reports from a doctor that said you've got this disease or you've got cancer or you've got this long to live, and they didn't know that was going to happen because we don't know what's on tomorrow. I think back just 5 years ago, it's hard to believe, but can I tell you, we had no idea that COVID was going to happen. Who would have thought the world was going to shut down? Our churches would close up. We would walk around with masks. Good night. I'm glad tomorrow is a mystery. I'm serious. Sometimes it's best. It's interesting. God tells us, God gives us the ability to remember the past, but God does not give us the ability to see the future. And it's probably for our good. Because if we knew what was on tomorrow, we may not get there. If we knew that we were going to have to put that loved one in the ground, if we knew that we were going to have to answer that phone call, if we knew that we were going to be in that situation, we may not go there. And so God doesn't allow us to know what's on tomorrow. Now, I know there's some things that God has told us about tomorrow, but God, specifically speaking in our individual lives, God doesn't show us what's on tomorrow. I get real concerned when these people get on. I've been saved just long enough now. I can't believe, I'm going to get into this in a minute about time. I can't believe that this year I'll be saved for 20 years, Pastor. 20 years. Your life is a vapor. And I think back over these past 20 years, and when I first got saved, I hear these preachers and these voices and these people get on. Social media, but social media wasn't even around when I first got saved. That's how much has changed in 20 years. I had a flip phone when I got saved. Right? That's crazy. The world without Twitter, X, Facebook. I remember when Facebook came out. I said, I'll never get on that. Don't say what you won't do, right? Don't be like Peter. Say, I'll never do that. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll friend request you when I get home. But it's we don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now, right? What in the world? I had a point and I was going somewhere with that, but I have no idea what it was. I just know tomorrow's a mystery, right? It's 20 years. Oh, it was them people getting on there. I know it. I knew if I rambled long enough, I'd figure it out. It's these people that get on YouTube and they make these videos and they tell you that they've had this dream and this vision. And I'm not mocking. I'm not making fun. But what I'm telling you is, I've been saved for 20 years and I've heard too many of those visions and I've seen too many of those dreams and I've seen too many of those man-made prophecies come to fail. God's right. Let God be true, and every man a liar. That's God's word. So when people get up and start telling you this or that, or this or that, can I tell you, I remember I was saved in 2008 when Barack Obama came into office and people thought, the world is going down. That's the Antichrist. You say, okay, y'all looking at me like y'all didn't think that, all right? Well, I'm saying that's what they were saying, all right? And they were scaring me. I just got saved. I was watching them videos thinking, we're done. I literally remember sitting in Pastor's living room and telling Pastor, you ain't gonna believe what I heard Glenn Beck say. Glenn Beck don't know what's on tomorrow. He's done proven that way too many times, okay? Way too many times. Some of y'all don't even know who Glenn Beck is. Anyway. I remember telling Pastor this. I listened to this message, and this preacher said this was going to happen, or this political talking head said this is going to happen, or this influencer said this is going to happen. And I remember sometimes Pastor would just sit there, and he was very, very gracious to me as a young Christian, and he would say, yeah, and he would listen, but I could tell he wasn't really listening. I remember I was thinking, man, he don't care. He thinks I'm crazy, or he thinks they're crazy. But I know what it was now. He'd been around long enough. He'd heard those voices before. See, I wasn't saved in 2000. He was. Y2K, right? It's all over. Get your cans, right? Get your stuff. The grid's going down. It's all done. 2000. I mean, they've been predicting it for a long time. There's been people to write books, literally write books of when the day the Lord's going to come. I'm talking about not the month, not the year, the day. Then it not happen and rewrite another book about how they missed it and get a new day. They've done it. Sell thousands of them. The blood moons, right? The red heifer. This and that, and I'm not mocking. I'm just telling you, brethren, I've been around long enough now in this thing called Christianity to know that tomorrow's a mystery. I don't care how big of a following you got. I don't care how many people like your YouTube post. I don't care what labels you got beside your name. Can I tell you, if you're not God, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Tomorrow is a mystery. Only God knows. Who do we think we are? The next time I see one of these guys show up on my phone talking about what's going to happen in 2024, I think I'm going to whisper to myself, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You don't know what's on tomorrow. No man knows what's on tomorrow. I'm trying to move on, but I'm also trying to help somebody tonight. I don't know. Jesus may come. The economy may collapse. World War III may happen, but I'm just telling you, because some man that calls himself a prophet or a preacher says it, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because tomorrow's a mystery. And we got to be careful about assuming what's going to happen tomorrow. We can't figure out what's going to happen today, much less tomorrow. I heard the statistics, and I can't even remember them now, but a man said you could take 10 pennies and number them 1 through 10, put them in your pocket, and the odds of pulling 1 through 10 out of your pocket are like 1 in some billion. We can't pull 10 pennies out of our pocket in order, and we're going to tell somebody what's going to happen tomorrow? Who do we think we are? He says you're assuming, you're confident in what you think. You're going to go somewhere, you're going to stay, you're going to buy, you're going to sell, you're going to continue there a year, you're going to make gain. And he says, what? You don't even know what's on tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We're not in control. We can't be confident about things that we don't control. I don't control tomorrow, nor do you. So number one, he says there's an assumption, but number two, he says there's even an arrogance. Look at verse number 16. He says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. If you look at the words in the Greek up, literally what he's saying is you're proud. You're boasting in your boasting. You're proud in your pride. You're so arrogant that you think that you know better than anybody else. He says, who do you think you are? But now you rejoice in your boastings. You are proud of your pride. You wear it like a badge. Are you with me? I'm not talking about you, I hope. I mean that. I don't think I'm talking to you tonight, but I'm talking about some people you know. And I'm talking about somebody that we can be if we're not careful. We can walk around thinking we know more than we know. Thinking that we've got all the answers, that we know what's on tomorrow, that we can see down the road and that we got all the answers of life. And if we're not careful, we'll walk around proud of our pride. Like wearing it like it's a badge of honor. Yeah, I think I know everything. You better believe it. I do know everything. What? Who do we think we are? We don't know what's on tomorrow, brethren. Let's just not forget that. Much less a year from tomorrow. We don't know what's on tomorrow. We don't know what's today. Jesus said, thou fool, what are you talking about? What you're going to do? So we see that tomorrow's a mystery. Number two, we see that time is momentary. Time is momentary. I almost put time as a mist. You know what that's what a vapor is? It's a mist. It's like that morning fog that just lifts and it's gone. It's like being out at the ocean and seeing those waves hit. As the waves hit the shoreline, you can kind of see that water, that little mist rise up and then it vanishes away. James says that's what time is like. He says that's what your life is like. It's a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Psalm 102, verse 11 says this. It says, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Job 9, 25 and 26 says, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are past as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Job 14, 1 and 2 says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also like a shadow and continueth not. Psalm 39, verse 5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. He says, my days are like a handbreadth. It's like a shadow. It's like a flower. You're in James. Turn over to 1 Peter. Next book you get to in my Bible, it's one page. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 24. He says, for all flesh, that's us, that's mankind, right? For all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. He says your flesh is like grass. It's like a flower that just fades away. The wind blows and that petal falls off, falls to the ground, and it's not but a couple days, and all of a sudden that petal that fell to the ground begins to wither, and it begins to turn colors, and it begins to get crunchy, and then it just vanishes away. That's what our life is like. Time is a mist. Now, I know I'm preaching to some people tonight that understand that. I'm learning that. I find myself all the time, that you know you're getting there when you find yourself saying stuff that you've always heard your parents say. I can't believe it's been 20 years. I can't believe if the Bible is the Bible says we have 70, right? 70 years, and if by strength God gives us 80, and I understand, I talked to Brother Dave this morning, Miss Thompson's 97 years old. But can I tell you, if Miss Thompson was to come down here tonight, you know what she'd tell you? Go so fast. 97 years. I can't believe how time flies. I can't believe it's been 20 years since I got saved. I can't believe it's been 30-some years since I was a teenager. I just can't believe that life is just going by so quickly. I can't believe my oldest child is getting ready to turn 16. It's unbelievable. Where does time go? James said it's like a vapor. It's a mist. It's momentary. You blink and it's gone. And to you young people in here tonight, you think that's crazy. You think, oh, Brother Dave's just saying that because he's got gray hair. Well, I've had gray hair since I was 20, so that ain't got nothing to do with it. No, Brother David's saying that because Brother David has lived long enough now to see that I cannot believe that life is going by the way that it is. It's unbelievable to me. When I got saved, Pastor, you were my age. Actually, a little younger than I am. I'm not saying you're old. He said, get on that third point, right? I just can't believe it. Are y'all with me? Where did it go, Brother Don? Brother Larry? It's a vapor. Life is a vapor. Tomorrow's a mystery. Time is momentary. We're here for a little while, and then we're gone. You say, man, will you please move on? I'm getting ready to. Here today and gone tomorrow. You know, time is invaluable. You can't put a price tag on it. I read something. It said this. It said, I don't know who, I would tell you who said it because it's so good if I knew, but I don't know. It said, if life is a gift, then time is the vehicle by which it is delivered. Life's a gift, brother. And time is the vehicle by which it is delivered. Listen to this. He said, you can't put a price tag on it. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Maybe I'm going through a midlife crisis. I don't know, Brother Brian. But I find myself sometimes just sitting and thinking, I can't believe. It's gone. In this life, those childhood memories, they're gone. That loved one, they're gone. Now, thank God if they were saved, you're going to see them again. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I'm talking about the life which we're living right now. Who do we think we are? We don't have forever. Time is momentary. It's a gift that God's given to us, and we've got to use it the best we know how. It's invaluable. You can't put a price tag on time. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much possessions you have. I don't care how healthy you are. Time is invaluable. You've only got so much of it, and money can't buy it. The richest people die. The healthiest people die. Time is invaluable. Not only that, it's irreplaceable. You don't get another chance. Not in this life. There's 24 hours a day. There's 1,440 minutes in a day. There's 86,400 seconds. And once it's gone, it's gone. You don't get it back. If time was like money, it'd be like getting $86,400 every day. But when the sun goes down, it goes back to zero. And so whatever you're going to do with that money, you better do it today. Whatever I'm going to do with the time that God's given me, I better do it today. Because tomorrow's a mystery. And time is momentary. It's a mist. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. It vanishes away. Who do we think we are? It's like C.T. Studd said. I almost pulled up that poem. I've read it so many times from the pulpit. I felt like I shouldn't read it again, but I just love it. One life. One life to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In that poem, he talks about the time is fleeting. We've only got one chance at this thing called life. Time is momentary. Tomorrow is a mystery. And this is my last point, and I'm done. Trust is mandatory. Trust is mandatory. You say, where do you get that from? Well, look at verse number 15. Well, I want to read verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. It says you don't know what's on tomorrow. Tomorrow's a mystery. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Time is momentary. It's a little time and then it vanisheth away. He said, for that, because of that, because tomorrow's a mystery, and because time is momentary, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James says, you know what you need to learn is trust is mandatory. We need to learn to trust the Lord. That is mandatory in this thing called life. Can I tell you, look, listen to me. It's not, this should not be something that we fear. As I've said this to you, if you're like me, there's a part of you that begins to think, oh my goodness, like tomorrow is a mystery. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what phone call I'm going to get. I don't know what's even going to happen on the way home. And time is momentary. And when it's gone, I can't get it back. And if we're not careful, you know what'll happen? Fear will sit in our hearts. But it's not supposed to motivate fear. It's supposed to motivate faith. It's supposed to motivate us to trust. It shouldn't make us fearful, but it ought to make us desire to be faithful because God is in control. We're not. And so we need to learn to trust God. We need to depend upon God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust is dependent on God. It's realizing that without him, we can do nothing. I don't think James is trying to depress these people. I think James is trying to remind these people, who do you think you are? You don't know what's on tomorrow. Tomorrow's a mystery. You're just a vapor. Time is momentary. He said, but trust is mandatory. You better learn to trust God. If the Lord will, we shall do this. If the Lord will, we shall do that. There's two times that I believe we ought to trust the Lord. Two times. In this and that. That's what he said in verse 15. He said, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, right? We shall do this or that. That's when we ought to trust the Lord. You say, when should I trust the Lord, Brother David? In this or that. Always trust the Lord. It's the only hope we got, brother. We don't know what's on tomorrow. He does. Time in this life is momentary, but can I tell you, it's not in my control, it's in his. He's numbered my days. He's given, put life in my body. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. Why would we not trust Him? I believe that's why Paul said, redeeming the time. He said, redeem the time. Use your time wisely to take the life that God's given you and do what you can with it. Trust God with it, because God's way is so much better than our way. He said, you got to depend upon the Lord. I believe his trusting is mandatory, and it's a dependence. It's realizing that I need God. I can't do this thing called life without him. The older I get, the more I'm realizing how much I need God. When you start to face things in life that are difficult, and some people face them younger than others, but as you get a little older, the trials come, and you learn as you get older, I need God. I don't know how people do it, brethren, without God. No wonder they're drinking themselves into a stupor. No wonder they're overdosing by the millions. No wonder there's people taking their own lives because they're trying to do this thing called life without God. We need God. It's mandatory that we trust in the Lord, that we depend upon Him. If He will, if the Lord will, it's not only a dependence, it's a disposition. If the Lord will, that means I want to do His will, right? If the Lord will, that word will means desire. If the Lord desire, you know that, right? If the Lord will, that means desire. If the Lord desires, I'll do this or that. I want to do what God desires that I do. You got to have a disposition that wants to do God's will. You got to have the disposition that Jesus had. Not my will, but thine be done. It's a mindset. It's an attitude that says, I want to do what God wants because I trust him. That's what James is saying. I believe he's saying that. I believe with all my heart. Verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James says, if you know that you're supposed to trust God, if you know that you can't live life without God and you try to do it anyway, it's sin. It's what Pastor was preaching this morning. We talk about, you know, Pastor, when you was preaching on that, and I'm almost done. This morning when you was preaching on that, something that I noticed when I was studying for this, I don't think I've ever seen before, talks about that he was faithful in much. What is that in that section? Yeah, who's faithful much, or he's been given much. You know, we use that verse, and I can't quote it right now, but we use that verse a lot of times to talk about to whom much is given, much shall be required. And we use that as like a on a positive note. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but if you read what Pastor was preaching this morning, it's actually talking about judgment. In its context, it's saying to whom much is given, much shall be required. It means if you know a lot, you're going to answer for a lot. We like to quote it like, you know, I've been given a lot, so I'm able to do a lot. And if you've been given a lot, you ought to be able to do a lot. But can I tell you, if you've been given a lot, you're going to answer a lot. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Can I tell you, brethren, we that have been in a good church all these years and have sat under good preaching and we've learned the Bible and we quote verses and we know what the Bible says, God's going to hold us accountable for what we know and what we do with what we know. James says to these people, if you know that you ought to not be assuming and you ought not be arrogant in your assumptions and you ought to trust God and depend upon God and have a disposition that you just want to do God's will and you don't do it, James says, that's sin. That's sin. We need to trust the Lord. We talk about sins of commission and sins of omission. Can I tell you, not trusting God is a sin. We got to trust God. We got to try to live to do God's will. I'm telling you, James doesn't play. He's all about action. Faith works. James says you got to do something with what you've been given. And so the mystery of tomorrow, I already mentioned this, but I want to say it one more time and I'm done. The mystery of tomorrow and the mist of time should motivate us to trust. It shouldn't make us fearful, but it should make us desire to be faithful. God is in control. Who do we think we are? Really? I got to ask myself that question. Who do you think you are? Or who do I think I am? I'm not in control. God is. These people that James is talking about were living their lives like they're in control. And James is saying, go to now, ye that say. You that think you're in control, you're not in control. God is in control. So learn to trust Him. Trust the Lord. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and we'll pray. I hope some way, somehow, the Spirit of God took something that was said tonight to you, because I know God's been dealing with me. I want to take the best advantage of the time that God's given me and live it to the fullest. You can stand to your feet. The piano's going to begin to play. I thought about a song that Nick and Kelsey sang. If I thought they could sing it, I'd ask them to, but I'm not going to put them on a spot like that. But it talks about every borrowed breath. There's a phrase in that song, I believe, it talks about the days are long, but the years fly by.